Well, hello, and welcome to the Leadership Show. This is Harriet Schumacher, and I'm so happy, I'm honored, really, that you're choosing to spend some time with me here today. This podcast is really designed to have some honest, intriguing, hopefully a sprinkle of inspiration here, on the topic of leadership and what it takes to lead in today's uncertain and volatile environment. And I'm a certified executive coach. I have over 20 years of experience working with leaders globally. And by no means does that mean that I have all the answers. I just know some cool people. I've got some insights and sometimes some things that I want to say. And so this podcast really is for your enjoyment. I hope that you tune in. I hope that you get some value out of it. And thank you again for tuning in. On to the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome. It's so great to be able to sit here and have a conversation with you today around perfectionism and what this is, how to diagnose it, and how to let it go. And, you know, this is something that as I've been working on preparing this talk, asking myself, maybe I'm a perfectionist too. I like to think that I'm not. Maybe I am a little bit. So, you know, if I typically find that people who are perfectionists know that they are, you know? And so I'm going to get started with a little bit of a quote. And this comes from Jennifer Cameron. She wrote a book called The Artist's Way. And, you know, in that book, she has a quote and she says, perfectionism isn't a quest for the best. Perfectionism is a pursuit of what's the worst in ourselves. The part that tells us that nothing we will do, we could ever do, would ever be good enough. So talk about perfectionism for a moment and where it comes from specifically in women. Like all things, perfectionism is a outcome of the system that we are in, that we've been raised in, that we are being conditioned in. And so when we are growing up, girls are told to be obedient. They're rewarded for being obedient. We're told to excel at school, and we're rewarded for excelling at school, right? While boys are allowed to break the rules a little bit. You know, it's considered charming. I've seen this firsthand in my own daughter's elementary class. You know, they're allowed to behave a little bit naughty, break the rules, again, considered charming. And so from a very young age, we're raised and rewarded differently. And, you know, a lot of times I think that from a very young age, we see that we're raised and rewarded differently. And we really have to notice that perfectionism is inherited. It's developed over time. And we can end up being really mired in the details when we're missing out on the big picture, which is one of the challenges with perfectionism. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, we're too focused on how many decimal points that we need to be making versus learning how to do the math. And so, you know, I think that this is something that we have to keep reminding ourselves is, you know, raise my head, pick my head up and ask myself, really, what's the big picture here? Because when we're struggling with perfectionism, we're definitely very narrowly focused and we're missing out on the big picture. And perfectionism is also highly unrealistic. But the idea with perfectionism is that there is a finish line when actually there really is no finish line, especially when it comes to development, when it comes to growth, there really is no finish line. And so, you know, perfectionism really is unrealistic. And, you know, there's not really any goal which can be accomplished perfectly. And so what a lot of us need to learn how to do is how to do a good job. And what we're trying to accomplish and kind of keep our focus on the big picture on those outcomes, because there are probably a lot of places where 80% will do. And so we have to learn what those things are and be willing to let go a little bit, be willing to say, okay, I don't necessarily need to strive for perfection here in this situation. I could absolutely 80% would be good enough. And so that's what I want to talk with you about, is really understanding, you know, how to diagnose perfectionism, what this looks like from a behavior pattern in organizational context from a leadership perspective, and then give you some things to think about if you think that you're struggling with perfectionism, or perhaps there's somebody on your team who is, and how can you support them? How can you help them? And so, you know, the challenge with perfectionism, because, you know, there's always this kind of catch 22, which is, well, isn't it good to do things well and have high standards? And, you know, there's definitely gifts that can come with perfectionism, but there's also a darker side, and perfectionism definitely can leave a wake of issues behind. So not only do I find that most perfectionists are highly stressed, they tend to be too narrowly focused and really missing out on the big picture. They can tend to get quite negative when things go wrong. And I find this like air of disappointment or this air of frustration because people can never really meet your expectations, right? And so I find this is one of the kind of top two challenges that I work with women to help them resolve, because there's the piece of perfectionism, which is being incredibly hard on yourself, right? So having ridiculous expectations of what it is you can possibly do, being overworked, and spinning your wheels so much that it keeps you from progressing. It can perfectionism can be a real derailer from a career advancement focus. And so then this other piece, when it comes to, you know, advancing your career and taking on more leadership capacity, is this fear of making mistakes, which really is the biggest barrier. You know, leadership is risky, and you're going to need to make mistakes and learn from them. And the more people miss out on opportunities for being overly cautious versus being courageous, I think that that is a real detriment. Right now, especially, we need people who are willing to take risks. So if you want to rise in your career, you need to learn to let perfectionism go. So I'm going to share here a quick assessment. And the idea is just kind of to self-assess and to see if perfectionism might be an issue for you. And so the, you know, I want you to think of these questions, and when you answer them, I want you to answer them on a scale from, you know, strongly agree to strongly disagree, right? So it would be like strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree. And so when I share these statements with you, I want you to just sort of see what end of the spectrum are you on. Are you in strong agreement or strong disagreement or somewhere in between? The more that you find that you're agreeing or strongly agreeing with these statements that I'm about to share with you, the higher the chance it is that you're probably struggling with some perfectionism, okay? All right, so the first question is, I often feel weighed down by my goals and feel fear as I work on them that I won't succeed. So do you agree, disagree? Do you feel weighed down by your goals? And do you, is there a fear that's running you, that's telling you you won't succeed? That's question number one. Question number two, do you procrastinate and wait for the perfect moment to do something? So do you procrastinate, waiting for the perfect moment to be able to get something done? Agree or disagree? Question three, do you often feel disappointed by what you have achieved and regularly it's not enough? So do you feel disappointed by what you have achieved and regularly think it's not enough? Agree or disagree? Four, do you obsess over tiny mistakes at the expense of more important priorities? Do you obsess over tiny mistakes at the expense of something bigger, more important priorities? Agree or disagree? Five, do you neglect other things in your life that are important for work? So in other words, do you place work in front of other things, other priorities that are also important to you? Agree or disagree? 6, do you hate to fail at any? Do you hate to fail at anything? Agree or disagree? 7, do you ruminate over things that happened a long time ago? Right, like in other words, stuck in the past. Do you ruminate over things that happened a long time ago? Agree or disagree? 8, last one. Do you get stuck in analysis paralysis as you try to figure out the perfect way to do things? Agree or disagree? So depending on how you answered those questions, the higher, you know, the more you score on the agreeing side or the strongly agreeing side, these are tendencies, traits of perfectionism and how that manifests in women, specifically what this looks like. And so, you know, there's the challenge here is that perfectionism really is a measure of our own worth, right? Our own need, definitely is a perception-based need to attain flawless results and perform to extremely high standards in order to feel secure and worthwhile. So your identity is very much attached to this output, to the judgment of others. That external world tells you if you are worthy or not, which is what runs this pattern, right? Which is, you can see how we learned this from childhood, right? So we get rewarded for certain behaviors, which makes us feel safe, which makes us feel loved, which makes us feel like we are in good favor. That's why we develop these patterns, right? So worth and security is very much equated with being perfect. So performing constantly at these like sort of heroic levels and succeeding beyond all expectations. And so the strong need for this high quality is a strength, right? There's nothing inherently wrong with having high standards, but the problem comes here that you can resist the urge to do everything by yourself. So this is how you strike a balance, right? You don't have to do it all by yourself, and you can refrain from being upset with yourself and others. Minor imperfections show up because that's going to happen. And so I do a lot of work with doing 360 assessments as a leadership coach, and measuring perfectionism is one of the tools that I use, because it is very common in women, and was really, really problematic during the pandemic for those who scored high in this, because there was just no end of work in sight, right? And, you know, when you think about change and uncertainty and upheaval and not being able to predict the future, there's a lot of this reactive structure that shows up, and it was creating intense amount of burnout. So I would say that, you know, perfectionism kind of looks like these traits. So, you know, being very driven, being direct in approach, that can also be something that I see. And really focused on results. So very task, it's a very task-oriented style of leadership. Very concerned with appearances as well. So external perception, wanting to be perceived as very competent, very confident, you know, how people judge you on the outside is very important. Which can look like being so focused on the task that you appear as disconnected, distant, cold from other people, even though that's totally not the case. That's what it looks like behaviorally, right? And so performance standards can tend to be set so high at really unrealistically high levels, causing, you know, performance, especially with the team and even for yourself, to be very stressful, you know, where people are like, I don't even think that I can succeed in this environment. I think I might be set up for failure, which creates a whole slew of issues behind it. And so these demanding performance standards can really, you know, burn the team out, right? And the team can lose momentum. So then what ends up happening is perfectionists will swoop in and try to clean things up because, you know, if you let things go, if the ball gets dropped, the whole thing becomes unhinged, right? And so what ends up happening is perfectionists become obsessed with improving and eliminating mistakes so that they even get like detailed and more focused on the minutiae rather than being able to really look at the big picture. And so what this looks like then is an inability to delegate, or you delegate a really not truly empowering or providing autonomy. You're more micromanaging the delegation process. And that typically comes from a low trust in others. You know, you don't really trust that other people can handle it or will do a good job. And so that's what you're communicating. That's what you're conveying to other people, is that you can't let go. I'm working with a woman right now privately in coaching. And this is one of the topics that we've really had to work on with her. And the feedback that she kept receiving, the word that kept getting used, is you need to let go. You need to let go, you know? So like learning to let go. And she definitely would say to you, as she did say to me, is she, you know, is a perfectionist. And she knows, you know, we really unpacked where that came from, how that was learned, and how that was turning into a liability for her to grow in her career, right? So the other piece too is that because the trust is low, because there's this internal mechanism that's driving this external behavior, and trust is a really big part of it. When things don't go well, which undoubtedly they will, the way in which perfectionists tend to communicate with other people is that they can be very critical of others, you know, and kind of talk down or freeze out other people when they do not meet their expectations. And so, you know, all of this is driven, and the sad part of it is all is driven by wanting to be worthy. You know, my dog is going crazy. Hi, Maeve. She's going crazy. So that's the part that we really need to spend some time getting into, is determining like and reframing how you are valued and your own internal worth. That is not dictated by circumstance or external perception, which that takes, you know, some undoing, right, to figure that out. And so, you know, this desire for success is not inherently a bad thing, right? Perfectionists can achieve great things. They can be highly driven. They can see, you know, make a lot of improvements. They tend to have a really strong work ethic. I find sometimes women will kind of wear this as a badge of honor. And I see women who describe themselves as the, like, I'm the get shit done person around here. And, you know, if it doesn't, it's not going to get done unless I do it. And while I understand that that could be like a brand that you've built for a period in time, it's going to become a liability for you if it hasn't already. And so I think the important thing to recognize is perfectionism is a trap that will ultimately lead to reduced performance, not only in yours, but in the team around you. And so you have to find balance here. Perfectionism needs to be brought into a realistic balance to ensure your own personal health, the team's health, and like the system's health overall. You need to check it, bring it into balance. It's never going to fully go away, but you want to be managing it instead of it managing you. And so, you know, it's kind of this double-edged sword, right? Because on one hand, perfectionism can really be, can motivate you to perform at a high level, to deliver top quality work. But on the other hand, it creates anxiety. It creates fear. It creates, I would say, even like inaction, and can actually truly slow you and other people down. And so it's really about like harnessing the positive aspects of perfectionism while balancing and putting into check the negative aspects of it. And so, you know, I want you to start to think about that. If you struggle with perfectionism, what can you start to do? What can you put into play to keep your perfectionism in check? And who could you enlist to help you? Because it's very challenging to do this on your own. I mean, it's the antidote to perfectionism is help. is typically not what perfectionists like to do. Like, they don't want to seek out help, right? So there's been some interesting research that's been done on perfectionism, lots and lots of research. It's actually on the rise. Perfectionism is on the rise, is what I have been garnering from the articles that I've been reading. But there was an interesting study that was conducted, 95 studies. And so this is a meta-analysis of 95 studies that have been in, been conducted since from the 1980s until now, that were looking at the relationship between perfectionism and your overall effectiveness at work. Because they're really trying to question, you know, are perfectionists better performers? Are they higher performers? And there's about 25,000 people that were looked at over this meta-analysis over a couple of decades. And the short answer here is that perfectionism is actually a much bigger weakness than most people assume it is. So, you know, the pros here are perfectionists are definitely motivated on the job. Yes, they will work longer hours and can be more engaged, can be more driven at work. The cons of this are, though, there's lots and lots of detrimental work and non-work outcomes, which include burnout, stress, workaholism, anxiety, and depression. They're actually finding there's so much of this perfectionism, which is linking to, you know, really imbalanced mental health state. And anytime that you are running your internal operating system on fear and worry and anxiety, you know that that's going to lead to a negative outcome at some point. So what I see in the women that I coach are two different types of perfectionists, really. I see the excellence-seeking perfectionists, which is the high standard, like excessively high standard type of, like, we need excellence. And, you know, I've had so many people say, and this was just recently, where a woman said, I want to be the best. I want to be the best. So as soon as you hear a language like that, you're like, okay, there's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to be the best, but is that attainable, right? And what exactly is that? Because that sounds like a high expectation, a high bar that might be difficult to attain. And so I definitely see that that's a style, this sort of excellence seeking perfectionist. And then I see a different style of perfectionist, which is the failure avoidant perfectionist. This manifests in two very different types of behavior. When you're failure avoidant or risk avoidant as a perfectionist, there is like an obsessive concern with failure, with an avoidance of wanting to take any risks because of an inherent fear of failure. And so reaching high performance standards, like, you know, I'm worried that I won't be able to reach it, therefore I'm not. So what I fear with failure avoidant perfectionists, they're constantly worried that their work is not quite right, it's not good enough, and believe that they're going to lose respect from other people. They're going to fall out of favor all the way down to a lot much deeper, longer list if they do not achieve what they set out to achieve. So, you know, bottom line here, I guess, is that a lot of perfectionist tendencies are rooted in fear and insecurity. And, you know, the belief here is that if I'm not perfect, then I am what? You know, fill in the blank. If I do not perform perfectly, then I am what? And then I would say most of the time I hear, then I am a failure. I am worthless. I have failed. Everything will come undone. You know, the list becomes very long and very, you know, very concerning. And so how do we flip the switch on this? Well, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, these types of patterns get developed in response to a system over a period in time. Since you were young, since you were a little girl is where this was developed, right? And so I think this is about rechanneling something. And perfectionists have a ton of strengths. But it's around really being able to look at what those strengths are and rechanneling those strengths rather than lowering the bar, because that's definitely not going to be an option. And so I also encourage you to think, like, you know, if you really want to be the best, you really want to be a high achiever, if that is what drives you internally, there's going to be some imperfection on that journey. Otherwise, you're not learning. Of course, there's going to be mistakes. Of course, there's going to be failures. Of course, there's going to be imperfection. That's the price of admission, you know, to becoming great. There's no safe way to be great. It is inherently risky. You're going to have to fail and fail and fail and learn and move on, right? And so, you know, it takes a lot of effort to try to be a perfectionist. It's not easy. And so I think I want you to think about a couple of questions here, because how you use your time really dictates what the outcome is going to be. And so, you know, I want you to think about, how are you using your time, and are you using your time wisely? Are you really being productive with the time that you're using, or are you just really busy? Do you feel productive? And then are you really maximizing impact, or are you focused too narrowly on trying to keep yourself safe? So a couple of things to think about on how do we start to let some of this go. I think really more sort of big thoughts here is, what's at stake for you if you don't learn to let this go? You know, kind of what is the price that you're paying currently for this pattern? And what if nothing changes? You know, what's likely to happen? And how could perfectionism be getting in the way of what it is that you truly want? So you need to know why you want to let this go. You got to be driven by that first and foremost. There's probably something that you want and you're not able to achieve it, and that is driving you mad. And the way in which you're showing up behavior is probably one of the biggest barriers to getting where you want to go. Okay. And so I think then you definitely need to spend some time adjusting your expectations in terms of what is possible, what other people can or cannot do, and really thinking about, okay, what is the bar that I have set, and is that achievable realistically? Or am I asking too much of myself, or am I asking too much of others? I think, you know, because perfectionists struggle with, like, it can never get done. There's always a do, like the list is really long. I think it's important to start a process each day of, you know, what you're going to commit to doing, like what is your 80%, or what is your done, or what is your finish line today? And then you need to commit to doing that and just that, because there's always more, right? Like, we all know that there's so much to do. As soon as you get started on trying to accomplish one thing, like 50 other things crop up, right? So what is your process for managing your expectation during the day? Like, do you need to create a checklist or some sort of list that allows you to say, this is my bar that I have set for today. This is what I am committing to doing today. And that is going to be it. Then I am done. I also think that you need to learn to lean on others. So one of the things that I see with perfectionists is just like the time that is being taken in producing work, very slow turnaround times, like a lot of detail, a lot of, like, you know, all over the place. Taking up too much time to get something done because of this, you know, attention to detail, which in and of itself is a beautiful thing, but can really be slowing down productivity, right? So also you can get in your head, and if that fear and anxiety starts to take over, you ruminate, like you go even deeper into it, right? To the point that you're just like, you've lost focus. You're unable to see the big picture any longer. And so what my recommendation here is that when you're working on something, Babe is going crazy. What are you doing? Come here. Come here. Stop. She's like killing a stuffed animal in the background here. I hope you can't hear that. So what I think you should do is you should just get started, and you need to be okay with having a rough draft on everything. Rough draft it. Rough draft it. Know that it's a rough draft and send it for feedback and communicate to people that this is a rough draft. Because there's what I feel so sad about is perfectionists who spend all of this time behind the scenes preparing things to be flawless, to present them for feedback, and then receive feedback and critique. And it's like, it kills them inside. Don't put all that work in on the front end. Make a rough draft, present it as a rough draft, as opposed to you walking into that room, that meeting, that conversation, assuming that what you have created is perfect and it's going to be flawless, only to find out that it's not. That is devastating and a massive waste of your time and resources. So Brené Brown calls this shitty rough draft. You need to have some shitty rough drafts. It's okay, especially if you're going to be collaborating with other people. You should be expecting to receive feedback, which means you should not be presenting something as perfect or flawless, because that's just a waste of time. Right? Rumination is something that I think, well, I don't just think, it's also very well researched and documented about how women have a tendency to ruminate. Like we do, we think, we process. I think that's what makes us, I think it's evolutionary. I think it's something that's a real strength of ours. But you need to break the cycle of rumination. And so letting go of the past. I know some women who struggle with perfectionism, and they cannot let go of conversations that have happened in the past, things that have been said. They're always looking to see if that is connected. And so this cycle of rumination, like this constant living in the past and letting that fear, that worry, that anxiety keep you stuck, you need to put a practice in place to let go of whatever that is. And focus on the future, as opposed to sitting in the story in the past and that rumination and trying to understand. I mean, it's gone, it's done, right? Well, we can never fully understand it. We can only understand the story that we're telling ourselves about that event and whether or not we want to believe that that story is true. I would also encourage you to spend some time really thinking about, okay, what triggers me as a perfectionist? Where do I find myself going in that place? Is it with certain people? Is it certain times of the day? Is it certain projects? Like I know some perfectionists, when they get asked to do work by certain people who might be like more senior than them, that is what triggers their perfectionism, because they're like, okay, well, this perceptions of authority really start to play a role here. I have to work flawlessly and be perfect in front of this individual. So that could be a trigger. A trigger could be like an initiative or something that you feel is tied to your worth or your own safety. If that is triggering perfectionism, you need to spend some time slowing down and being like, okay, what is pushing me into this mental and physical and emotional state? What is triggering this perfectionism response in me? Where does it come from? Where does it show up? And then slowing down and not necessarily listening to your first reaction. Cause like you're, when you're moving into that pattern of perfectionism, it has a lot to do with like where you're at. Like we behave emotionally first and then rationally second. So what is the emotional trigger? And don't necessarily trust that, right? Like spend some time processing, like, what am I feeling right now? What is the story that I'm telling myself right now? Is this really true? Could something else be going on? What is the real expectation that I have of myself in this situation? If you're not sure what other people expect of you, you could have a conversation to find out so that you can balance that initial reaction, which is telling you, you know, your worth is being judged here. You need to perform flawlessly. If you don't, you know, darkness will prevail and bad things will happen. That's not true. It's not true. And then try to think more positively and assume more good intent about other people, because a lot of that perfectionism tendency is driven internally. And we see the world, you know, the way that we are, not the way that it truly is. And so I encourage you to think about, you know, the strengths that you bring to the table, the strengths that other people bring to the table, that there's actually more resources at your disposal than you're probably taking advantage of, that other people do not expect the same of you that you expect of yourself, and that the world is actually a kind, safe place. So a couple things just to summarize and recap here, some strategies of things that you can should do and things that you want to not do if you're struggling with perfectionism. I think definitely, you know, there is this kind of law of diminishing returns, which really means that the more things that you try to accomplish, the less you will accomplish. And so the ratio there is about like 1 to 3 things. Like 1 to 3 things at a time is a pretty high significance that you'll be able to accomplish those things. Anything more than that, really like lowering the bar for what's possible. This becomes even more challenging when you're trying to do it perfect. And so, you know, I want you to learn to ask yourself, is done better than perfect here? Where are there times this week where 80% could be good enough? And then I want you to also reflect on your progress and like think about times when you have been able to like temper and moderate your perfectionist tendencies. And, you know, when you've been able to like let go, you need to also gather proof and evidence that you can do that and nothing bad happened. So that's where you start to flip the switch. You need to try a new pattern of behavior. So if letting go of perfectionism is what you're aiming for, then you need to be able to reflect on what happened when I did. Was it beneficial to me? Was I okay? Did we end up achieving the outcome? And if the answer is yes, then you're going to start to see some things. You're going to be like, oh, okay. I should have been doing this a really long time ago. I didn't realize that it was to be okay, right? Because it's really a fear-based pattern. So you need to tell your brain that you're safe in order to continue to keep letting go. And I think it, you know, really looking at calibrating and balancing your standards. You know, whose standards are you operating under? Is it really the expectation of somebody else? Or is this a standard that you're setting for yourself? Is it a bar that you're totally setting for yourself? And there's a big difference between between ruminating and true problem solving. So, you know, ruminating to me is like when you're twisting and turning and you're like living in the past and it's anxiety provoking, you're stuck. You're not able to move forward versus being able to like be solutions oriented and look towards the future. And so you might need to find a way to break the rumination cycle. If you find that you get into that habit of thinking where you're ruminating, you can't let go of the past, I would encourage you to like shift your energy and do something different to break the cycle. Maybe you need to be like writing it down. You need to take a walk. You need to like stop working on whatever it is that you're working on. You need to shift your energy to like break that cycle, because that will lead you into like a paralysis almost with that rumination. And that can happen on a daily basis. And so I would encourage you again, create a checklist that ensures you have some sort of process that you can measure your results and make a commitment to yourself early on at the beginning of the day. And then I would say, don't go it alone. You know, if you feel like you're really struggling with perfectionism and your bar is set really high, I mean, working with a coach is a really great way to help you undo some of those patterns. If you think that it's really deep and it's coming from some sort of traumatic event, you know, that in your childhood, which I've definitely encountered lots of situations like that with people that I've been coaching, I've been working with a therapist, might be really helpful for you to unpack that trauma so that you can really understand what happened to you and how that has created this pattern of behavior. There's a great book that I read there called What Happened to You? I believe that that's the title. I will double check and I'll add it as a resource in this module. It was really, really, I mean, sad, but also very profound about, you know, how we develop as children and how sort of, you know, different patterns and events in our lives can change us developmentally. So I'm very interested. I study a lot of adult development theory. And of course, if you're studying adult development theory, you need to study child development theory because those two things are directly connected. So that's a great book. There's also a great book by Brené Brown called The Gifts of Imperfection, which is a great read for anybody who is struggling with perfectionism. I read another book this year called Drop the Ball, which is a book written for women based on perfectionism. Because, you know, when you're a perfectionist, it's like you got to keep all the balls in the air. And this book is about letting those, dropping some of those balls and letting them go. And that was a great book as well. A couple of other exercises in there. And so I would encourage you to seek feedback, like invite somebody into your world. You need to build a system support around you if you're going to learn to let it go. First and foremost, you need to trust yourself that you're going to be okay. Your worth is not dependent on external validation, that your worth really comes from within. And then you're going to need to find the support of other people to help pick up some of the slack. So, you know, thinking about on your team, who do you have that you can lean on? What are things that you just need to let go of? Because even though that they might be a great idea, it's really not the best use of you. And maybe you said yes to it because you know that you can do a lot, but it's weighing you down. And I really want you to travel lighter and less burdened and less weighed down. And the more that you're able to unpack this and let this go, the more you will see your life improve. But you will also see your career grow because perfectionism works until it does not, like all of these sort of patterns that we develop over time. So hopefully you got a little bit of insight today into, you know, what perfectionism is, the barriers associated with it, and some strategies about how to let it go. Okay, thank you very much for being here today, and I will speak to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.